welcome. I'm overwhelmed by the number of women in this room. I'm absolutely overwhelmed. I think this is the most women we've ever started with a Bible study, and we didn't know what to expect, thinking that a lot of you would want to stay home and that you would feel safer at home. And so I'm so thankful that you're here and that we get to be together. If you were with us for our last study in Hebrews chapter 11, those last few weeks were difficult. We met via Zoom. I came and I taught to a completely empty room. And by the third time, I thought, I'm not doing that anymore. I need to invite at least 10 people, because was that our boundaries? Because pretending to smile and nod and look around was hard, and I missed you. I missed our leadership. I missed praying with them and being together. And I missed you. I missed your faces. I missed us being together. So this is absolutely fantastic. So I want to encourage you, really quick, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Mindy Love. My husband Dave is the pastor here. And I'll just tell you a few things about me that if you don't know much about us. But we have 4 grown children, 3 of whom are married. Our 3 older children are married. And we have 3 grandchildren. We have 3 daughters and a son. And we have 3 grandsons. And they are 5 and 3 and 9 months old in a couple days. And they are the absolute, for those of you who have grandkids, love of our lives. The other day, my daughter was sick, and so I went and I got my youngest grandson, and then I had to pick up my older grandson from school. And it was about 85, I think, on Monday. It was stinking hot, and Sawyer, our 5-year-old grandson, was out back with my husband, and he was just cleaning up some stuff, and he looks at the firewood, he goes, "Let's make a fire." And Dave's thinking in his mind, "Why? It's hot? That's stupid." And he looks at me and he goes, "Sure." And if that were our kids, 15 years ago, we would have said, "No, don't be stupid. It's hot." So we're smitten, we're pushovers, and but I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad that we're back. And I want to encourage you, because look around, the number of women in this room statistically will be cut in half by the 5th study. And I want to encourage you to stick to it. We're going to be going through the book of Romans, as you know that. You have your homework book in your hand. The book of Romans is, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit in a few, but the book of Romans is really heady. I know a lot of you in this room are much smarter than I am, but the book of Romans, it's heady. It can be complicated or appear to be complicated. Paul is an absolute brilliant mind, the author of the book of Romans, and he loves the run-on sentence. He just does. And I know for me personally, as we've studied this, as we've done the writing for the homework, I often would have to go get the New Living Translation of the Bible and sit it right next to my Bible and go back and forth just to get understanding. And so I don't want anybody here to be overwhelmed as they start going, okay, chapter 2 was particularly hard for me. But as you just go through it and go, what the heck is he saying? What does he mean? What is this point? Can't you say what you just said in 15 verses in 2? But don't get discouraged in that. It's an absolute beautiful book, and the message is very simple. So don't get discouraged doing that. I want to share a little bit about our women's ministry, our women's fellowship, if you've never been a part of our Bible study, just so you understand why we believe that we are here. The vision of our church is to win, disciple, and send. And in that discipleship part of our vision, this is where we are. This is what the Women's Bible Study is for. It's that discipleship piece where we get into God's Word, we study it, we learn it, and we do it together, and we sharpen one another as we do it. Within that discipleship part of the vision, our vision comes from Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. And it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord. This is Paul praying for those at the church in Colossae, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that is our prayer for you, that you would walk worthy of the Lord, that you would be fruitful in what you do for him, that you would please him, and that you would increase in your understanding and your knowledge of him, that you would grow, that you would desire to grow, but that while you are here and you're studying God's word, that you would meet people, that you would meet friends, that you would get connected within the church, and while doing that, that you would learn the Bible, and here that you would learn the book of Romans. If you've never attended one of our Bible studies before, We always start with worship. We start here in the sanctuary. We have a time of worship. We have a time of teaching. And we will always teach what you had studied that week. So you will come with your homework done, and we will teach on that. Today's teaching will be a little shorter. It's just an introduction. We're just going to go over just an overview of the book of Romans and look at the first couple verses. So it will be brief, but generally we would be done, and then you will go to your assigned small groups. And this is where you'll go over the homework, you'll encourage one another, you'll sharpen one another, and they're going to talk to you a little bit about that in your small groups today. You're going to have a leader, you're going to have an assistant leader. They are co-leaders, and they are there to come alongside you and encourage you in your growth in the Lord, in your homework, and you can talk about it in your group, answer questions, encourage one another, and there will always be a time for prayer requests so that you can be praying for each other during the group, during the week. But our desire is that you would remain with us for the year. We are just going through Romans chapters 1 through 7 between now and November 19th. We will do chapters 8 through 16 in the spring, and your groups will remain the same. So you will have a whole year to really get to know one another, to encourage one another, and to grow together. So the homework you have right before you, just really quick, if you know C.J. Cooksey, she has always been a part of our women's ministry. She did the study, the Breaking Bread Method, if you took that class, where it was a Bible study method that she actually designed. She came alongside and helped me write the study. We decided a few years ago that not that we would always write our homework materials, but that there was safety in doing it, that we put this together for you and we are accountable to you. So if we've made any error, if we have handled God's word lightly or we just didn't take it serious enough, or if there's something off, or we quoted somebody who's not really a godly man or woman, we want you to let us know. And there's safety in that. So as we write the materials, we're accountable to you. Writing homework materials is like CJ's, just she's gifted in it. She's brilliant. She's disciplined. She's diligent. She's dedicated, and I'm flighty, and I'm a procrastinator, and I have a hard time paying attention. And so you'll see as you write this, you'll start to see which lessons came from Mindy and which lessons came from CJ. But the first day of each lesson is broken up into 5 days. The first day is just going to look from a bird's eye view at the chapter that we are studying. We've given everything a cute little heading with a road kind of theme, because we'll talk about in a minute about the Romans road, but it is sort of it's an overview. It's the drive. Wait, no, I'm sorry, that's two. Oh, okay, I don't have my day one. Hold on just a sec. If you turn to day one of chapter one. But day one is the route. It's the overview. If you were about to go on a journey, you would look at your whole course and you would map that out. So that is what day one is. It'll look at the entire chapter. It'll just have you look at a couple questions so you can kind of see what the theme of the chapters is. Days 2, 3, and 4 is CJ's Breaking Bread method of Bible study, but it is a directed way of doing it. So you don't have to know how to do it. It'll lead you into it. It'll start you out with some of the answers to the questions, so there's not as much writing as there was before. If you did our Hebrew study, we heard all of your feedback. It needed to be shorter. There needed to be not as much writing. And we took all of that in consideration and made those adaptions. So day two is the drive. It's you're getting in your car and you're starting it up and you're going on your course, and it stops along the way of the entire course. And then day five takes one topic, so to speak, or one area of that chapter and looks at that more intently. So it's more of a topical study from a place of that. So it's kind of like taking a little scenic byway and looking at something a little more closely. So you're going to talk more about your homework book in your small groups, and you can ask any questions that you want about that. But let's go ahead and go to Romans chapter 1, verse 1, and we're just going to talk a little bit about it. You're going to have a little extra time in your small groups to get to know one another this morning. And then next week we will get into Romans chapter 1. So Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you, peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Romans is believed to have been written around 56 AD. We read in verse 1, as we just did, that it was written by Paul. It was written to the believers in Rome. Paul had always longed to visit Rome, but there were things that we see in scriptures that prohibit him from doing that, so he wrote to them. He wrote them this letter. But if you're familiar with the New Testament and you're familiar with the epistles and the letters that are written, especially the ones that Paul has written, you will know that those letters focus more on the church and the problems within the church and solutions to those problems. But the letters to Roman, it focuses more on God and his great plan of redemption. Paul's opening to his letter reveals his view of himself. Paul reveals much as he introduces himself, or he starts out a salutation in his letter, reveals much as how he sees Paul. And it has been said that how a person perceives him or herself determines largely how he or she will act. It's been said that a healthy self-perception tends to produce a healthy approach to life. But I like to say that a healthy biblical perception produces a biblical approach to life, and therefore a healthy approach to life. So our self-perception, it must be God-based. It must be biblically based. And Paul reveals this about himself as he opens up his letters to the Romans. He introduces himself in chapter 1, verse 1, as a bondservant. Paul sees himself as a bondservant. Not a scholar, not a theologian, not one who once persecuted the Jews and now is right before God, but a servant. It shows humility. And this caused me to pause and say, okay, how do I introduce myself? If I were to start out a letter and say a few things about myself and it revealed how I viewed myself, how would I do that? How would you introduce yourself in such a setting? Would you start out with maybe your personality? Are you I'm Mindy, the extrovert or the introvert, or I'm the smart one or the simple-minded one, or maybe it's your way of doing things. You might want to tell people that you're type A or type B. Maybe you want to say that you're a mom or a daughter or a friend, or maybe you want to reveal your occupation. You're an engineer or a teacher. How do you represent yourself? I am so encouraged by Paul, just in this opening verse, to have a more biblical perception of who I am to be, and to be that. He confidently said that he was a servant. He also calls himself an apostle of God. But not just, I'm an apostle of God, but called to be an apostle of God. He was not self-appointed. He was doing the will of him who called him. And then finally, as you see here, he's a bondservant. He's called to be an apostle and separated to the gospel of God. The word separated to me always brings to mind the word holy. Separate, set apart, different, like God. He knows himself to be set apart for God, a bondservant called by God, uniquely separated for preaching the good news, the gospel. Paul knew who he was. He knew who he was in Christ. And it is Paul who wrote this letter, a bondservant, an apostle called by God, and one set apart for the gospel. It is he who wrote this letter to the Romans. There is so much to say about Romans, as there is so much in this book. This book, as well as the entire Bible, but this book in particular, transforms lives. You are holding in your lap a book that will transform your life if it hasn't already. Martin Luther said of the book of Romans, it is the true masterpiece of the New Testament and the very purest gospel, which is well worthy and deserving that a Christian man should not only learn it by heart, word for word, but also that he should daily deal with it as the daily bread of men's souls. It can never be too much or too well read or studied. And the more it is handled, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes. Did he say to memorize the whole book of Romans? There was a pastor at our church in San Diego where Dave and I met and served for a few years before we came out here to start a church in Littleton. He memorized the entire book of Romans, word for word, in the New King James Version. But what Martin Luther is saying here, that this is so valuable, don't ever let it go too far from your mind. Don't ever go too long without returning to the book of Romans to hear the truth that is in it. Know it. Maybe even commit, if you one of those, to learn it by heart. Maybe start with the first chapter. Maybe find a favorite chapter, as you may find in this year as we go through this. Find a favorite chapter. Memorize that one. But as you study it, and we are just doing a survey of the book of Romans, it was suggested to us very wisely that maybe this would take 2 years, maybe even longer. So we pulled back a little bit and considered you if a two-year study in one book would be profitable. We thought, let's just do an overview, a survey of the book of Romans, because to take it one chapter at a time, there's going to be a lot to cover. So keep that in mind. You might be one of those ones who a 20, 30 minute a day homework study, excuse me, is not enough. Learn the book of Romans. Hide it in your heart. Let it be your desire. He said it can never be too much or too well read or studied. Handle it all the time and return to it. It transforms lives. The well-known scientist Michael Faraday from the 1800s in England, he had turned to Romans and he found that Romans had truly given him faith. And on his deathbed, he was asked by a reporter, "What are your speculations now?" And this is his answer. "I have no speculations. My faith is firmly fixed in Christ, my Savior, who died for me and who has made a way for me to go to heaven." No more speculations. This is it. This is what it's about. And he found this in a brilliant mind. He found this in the book of Romans. If you have never studied this book, prepare to be transformed. David Guzik, in his commentary on Romans, said, "The book of Romans has life-changing truths, but it must be approached with effort and determination to understand what the Holy Spirit said through the Apostle Paul." I agree with him. It must be approached with effort and determination to understand. I shared with you that as we started to write this study, I was overwhelmed. I've read it, I've studied it, and it's never been easy for me. But we have truth in God's word that tells us that if we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, he will do so into truth and righteousness. So as you approach your homework and you approach the book of Romans, stop and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding, give you eyes to see and to hear and to understand what is before you. And don't hesitate to get out another translation to read it alongside the New King James, which is where we will be teaching out of and where the scripture is referenced in our homework book. Like I said, Paul's a brilliant mind, but he loves the run-on sentence. I had to ask my husband for help. He had to send me his messages. I had to listen to him. I had to read things over and over again. I had to apply essential oils to help me concentrate. I did! But I don't say this to discourage you. I say it to encourage you, to be diligent. It tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we are to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God. We need to be a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and we need to rightly divide the word of truth. And the truths that are found in Romans are life-changing, and it will be worth the effort because it is the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. If you've never really stopped and said, okay, here's the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. It's the good news that Jesus came to earth, lived as a man, died to take the place of sin. He freed us from the law of the Old Testament. And through grace, he has set us free and gives us eternal life. That is the gospel. Romans is the gospel. And because Jesus did that, because God did that for us and sent his son, we can walk in newness of life. We can be transformed. Let's go from chapter 1 of Romans to verse 16. Hold on just a second. I can see it better if I turn it. And I absolutely love this verse. It shows Paul's heart. He is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We have nothing to be ashamed of. There is nothing to be ashamed of in the message of the gospel. The gospel saves us. The theme of Romans is the righteousness of God. The word righteousness in this book is mentioned 30 different times. 30 times. Righteousness refers to a condition that is acceptable to God. It can mean integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, or acting. But I can say that right there, and today, as you are seeing in our world, those words have been led to mean other things. That it may be virtuous to cause violence and riot. Purity of life has been redefined. Correctness of thinking is left up to your own individual whims and feelings and thoughts. Virtue and purity and rightness of life according to God's word is righteousness. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God, and we simply need to believe, which is the message of Romans. We simply need to believe. We simply need to have faith to be approved by God, to be saved, and to have eternal life with Christ Jesus. Romans is going to remind us very early on in our study that we cannot be righteous on our own. There's no one righteous, it tells us, not one. But when we have faith, God counts us righteous. There is no work that we need to do to earn it. There's no merit. There's no favor that we need. We simply need to believe. The road to salvation is found in the book of Romans. You may have heard the term the Romans road. You may be very familiar with it. I have it all marked up in my Bible. But the Romans road, if you've never heard of it before, it is a compilation of scriptures found in the book of Romans. It's not necessarily in order, and it has the gospel message that leads to salvation. And we're going to go through it really quick today. And in my Bible, I have the first verse, and then it says number one, and then it tells me where to go next. That way, because I'm not bold in sharing my faith, but that way I have that tool in my Bible where I can simply use the word of God and go through the plan of salvation through the book of Romans. In Romans 1, nope, that's not it. Romans 3, 11 and 12, it says, there is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good. No, not one. This is a very discouraging verse if it's left all to its own. It leaves us in the futility of our sins. And it goes on. The second one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then, in Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. And here we have our but. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it goes on to say, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And in Romans 10, 8, 9 through 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans teaches us that we are destitute. We cannot be righteous on our own. We do not understand. Left to our own flesh, we do not seek the Lord. In our sins, we fall short of God's glory. Our sin will result in death, but God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to give us eternal life. Sent his son to die for us, and all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We have to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we will be saved. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's the message of the gospel. And it's woven all through the book of Romans. Over this year, we are going to learn much. We're going to learn what it means to be righteous. We're going to learn how we are free from the law, that we are justified by faith. We will be assured of God's love for us. We will be instructed on how to live accordingly. We'll be instructed on how to use our spiritual gifts and how to live and love one another. If you're not saved today, spending time in Romans will reveal to you our gracious and merciful God who gave his Son in your place. If you are saved, spending time in Romans is going to increase your faith and hopefully transform you into his image so that you can bring glory to his name in all that you do. We pray today that you will continue with us and commit today to get on this road, to get on this journey with us, and to live unashamedly for the gospel of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your words. I want to thank you so much for the simplicity of the gospel. I thank you so much for the simplicity of our salvation. And I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who came and brought a new covenant. And he washed us clean with his blood. I thank you and I praise you. I pray for each one of us that we would commit to be diligent, to spend time in Romans, that you would fill us all with your Holy Spirit so that we can understand Romans, and Lord, that we would fall more in love with you because of Romans. We thank you for this book. I thank you for these beautiful ladies, Lord. Keep us all healthy. Keep us all safe. We love you, Father. I pray you bless our time in small group this morning. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen.